What happened?
Thomas, I'm going to have to re-record it. Someone disconnected the call right before I started recording.
I know.
Hello, hello, everyone. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Your girl, Jewel, is back with Can We Talk with Jewel? I hope you guys missed me as much as I missed you all. It's been a full week, and we have a very, very special, intimate podcast for you all today. The reason why this one is so special to me is because today is the anniversary of my grandfather's birth. And he has passed away. It's been almost 10 years since he's passed away. And, you know, today I kind of celebrated him because he has been instrumental for me as I've gone through this journey with my spirituality and gifts. And I think this podcast, I'm going to dedicate to him and my other grandparents, but definitely him. And, you know, those of you who know me know that I can get very sentimental when it comes to loved ones. And my grandfather, his name is George Henry Benjamin. And he passed away in 2014, which was a very interesting year.
You said 2014, Jewel?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Guys, Brother Thomas is back with us again, and we're always excited to have him.
Hi, y'all.
But yes. he passed away in 2014, and shortly thereafter, my life has been flipped upside down. And with the decade celebration of his death, a lot of things have been kind of made clear today. As to why I've gone through all of that from 10 years ago, believe it or not. It is a look back project.
Jewel, can you tell them one thing? Let them know, because I thought it was amazing what you do. And you said you don't do it all the time, but you felt like do it today. You poured him a glass of wine.
I did.
That's amazing.
I don't always do that, but today I poured him a glass of wine, and I wanted to have a personal moment just to thank him for being
Bravo.
A loved ancestor that has looked over, guided, and protected me for these past 10 years. So, yes. Yeah. That is something I did that was very sentimental today.
It's amazing.
We're going to dedicate this special podcast entitled The Big Payback. And I'm sure he's smiling in heaven thinking about this podcast today. So, with that said, I always want to remind you guys that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion, grounded in faith and honor of our Father.
Amen.
Here we discuss various topics related to supporting communities in all walks of life, as
Amen.
We are attracting a more diverse audience with a shared passion for growing spiritually and applying these life-learned lessons to our day-to-day experiences. So I want to encourage all of you to continue to support this podcast, support me, support my guest, Brother Thomas, and to always donate to the charity, because every little contribution helps.
Amen.
Right,
this day and time, for sure. Oh, my God, for this day and time, yes. I totally agree.
Yes. Totally. Yes. So, with that said, you know, we picked out a really, really interesting scripture to go with this, with today's message, and I think by the time we break it down, you guys are going to have that aha moment and be like, oh, wow.
Well, we hope, Jewel, they get that aha moment because, yes. or will they get the shock and awe? I don't know which one they're going to get, you know. That's going to be up to God, but, you know,
it
that's
is.
His plan.
It is. But you're going to get something out of it.
Amen. So,
so without further ado, I'm going to ask our very supportive brother, Thomas, to read today's scripture, which is 2 Samuel chapter 1 with you guys. And then we're going to talk a little bit about it and how does it relate to today's topic, as well as the spirit of betrayal that we're going to tap into as well.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Brother Thomas, without further ado, please.
I certainly will. Okay, so we are, as Jewel said, we are doing the second book of Samuel. Now, what it says at the top of my Bible, which is very interesting, Jewel, it says David learns of Saul's death. So he didn't know that he had died. He finds out in the scripture, the story is told, that how he finds out in a very unusual way. And he thought he had no idea, you know, let me do a preface here. David was basically in hiding from Saul because Saul had turned on David to the point of wanting to kill him. And he still respected him because Saul was the anointed one. And so he was not going to tread on any of that because that's anointed. That's of God, you know. Uh-huh. And so he did not know, but he was very sorrowful when he found out not only that Saul had died, but also his good friend Jonathan, who was the rightful heir to the throne if Saul should pass. And Jonathan refused the placement. He said, no, sir, I do not want it. I don't want it. And then he, in turn, protected David because he knew that God had favor on David. And he knew that he was in no position to handle the throne. And basically, he was there just to be with his father, to be supportive of his father. That's all he was. But to the point of being one to step in the way of his father killing David? Yes, he did, on more than one occasion. So this is where we stand with this scripture today. Just want to give you that little bit of information. All right, so now it came about after the death of Saul, when David had returned from slaughter of the Amalekites, that David remained 2 days in Ziklag. And it happened on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes torn and dust on his head. And it came about when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. So in other words, he's bowing to David. And then David said to him, from where do you come? And he said to him, I have escaped from the camp of Israel. And David said to him, how did things go? Because he was, you know, like somebody, you know, wanting to do a reporting. He wanted to know what was going on. So he said, hey, what's going on with the war? And so he says, well, please tell me. And he said, the people have fled from the battle, and also many of the people have fallen and are dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. So this was shocking to David, shocking news. So David said to the young man who told him, how do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead? And the young man who told him said, by chance, I happen to be on Mount Gilboa. And behold, Saul was leaning on his spear. And behold, the chariots and the horsemen pursued him closely. In other words, he's being circled. He knew that his time was up. In other words, kings know when they've lost the battle. And so he wanted to do the honorable thing and say to God, God, I give up this crown. You know, I realize that I was not doing your will. And so these are the things that's happened to me. And so he wanted to die. And so then he said, and the young man, he told him, said, by chance. And so he says, And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me. And I said, here am I. And he said to me, who are you? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. Then he said to me, please stand beside me and kill me, for agony has seized me because my life still lingers in me. So I stood beside him and killed him, because I knew that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown which was on his head and the bracelet which was on his arm, and I have brought them here to you, my lord. Then David took hold of his clothes and tore them. Apparently tearing their clothes is a show of respect, people. And so also did all the men who were with David. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan and for all the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. And David said to the young man, who told him, where are you from? And he answered, I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite. Then David said to him, how is it you were not afraid to stretch out your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of his young men and said, go, cut him down. So he struck him, and he died. And David said to him, your blood is on your head, for your mouth has testified against you, saying, I have killed the Lord's anointed. So David was angry. Then David chanted with his lament over Saul and Jonathan his son. And he told them to teach the sons of Judah the song of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jashar. Then, here is the lament. Your beauty, O Israel, is slain on your high places. How have the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ascalon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised exult. O mountains of Gilboa, let not dew or rain be on you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty. The bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and pleasant in their life and in their death, they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you luxuriously in scarlet, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How have the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Jonathan is slain on your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was more wonderful than the love of women. How have the mighty fallen? And the weapons of war perished. Wow. Wow. So he got bad news. He got bad news that he didn't want to hear. You know, even though he realized that Saul had turned from God and had become wicked, he still thought there was a chance, you know, because he was anointed after all. I mean, how can anointed turn against God? But he did. And to the point of such raging jealousy against David. And David didn't earn it. He didn't seek this, you know, anointment at all. He, you know, Saul is king. He was not. But Jonathan saw very quickly that David was the next in line, that it would not be him, although it should be. It should have been Jonathan's call. It should have been him. Now, if he wanted to, Jonathan could have given up the crown. He could have said, I relinquish it to David. He could have done that. But instead, he did not want to have anything to do with it. You see, Jonathan was a man of God. He was. And so he simply knew what he needed to do. He needed to honor and be beside his father. And in death, he was that way. And this is why David was so sad, because Jonathan had stepped in and saved him several times and even given him, you know, refuge, and even given him prior knowledge that Saul was on the attack, that he was after him, that he was almost at the city gates, and that he needed to flee, and David did. And so, you know, David was amazed that Jonathan would betray his father that way. So there is betrayal. And even Saul said, Jonathan, why would you do something like this? Don't you know how important it is for me to stop David? But see, Jonathan knew that David was the next one in line. And Jonathan also knew that his father was not in his right mind. And he wasn't. He had been driven with jealousy to the point of saying, nobody is going to be stronger than I am. I am always going to be king. But that's wrong. And Jonathan knew it. And he was trying to convince his father to say, why are you going so strongly against David? Why are you trying to kill him? I don't understand. He says, because it's the principle of the thing. I earned the right to be king. I did. What's David done? What's he done? How is he better than me? So there's jealousy, insane jealousy. And isn't that an interesting word, Jewel? Insane. Do you know what it actually means? Insanity. In Satan. Do you get it? Uh-huh. So it was insane jealousy. It was jealousy brought on by who? Satan. Satan was allowed to get into Saul's head and to wreak havoc. And he couldn't take it. He could not take it. Amen, amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. Thank you for sharing that scripture and the breakdown, Brother Thomas. Some key takeaways that stood out to me was, as you mentioned, of course, the betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
Between father and child, right? As well as the murdering of an anointed, or also known as a chosen one of God.
Yes. But now remember this guy, they didn't give him his name. We don't know his name. All we know that he was an Amalekite, which was the enemy. So in other words, an enemy soldier stood up next to Saul, realized his position as being king, and he stood there because Saul saw him from a distance and said, hey, come here. Come here. He knew that he had fallen on his sword, but it didn't, his spear, he said, but it didn't kill him. And Saul realized that he wasn't dying. You know, and he wanted to die. He wanted to do the honorable thing and die, fall on his sword. You know, that's the thing of something in culture. If you have failed God, then you should be willing to fall on your own sword. And so he failed not only God, but he failed the people of Israel because they lost. They lost the battle. They feared. They ran away in shame. And he couldn't deal with the shame either. And I think maybe, Bob, I didn't say it, but I think possibly that Saul saw his own son die, you know? And so he wanted to give up his life as well, because not only had he failed his country, his kingdom, the people of his kingdom, but most importantly, had he failed his son? And then more importantly than that, he failed God. He couldn't deal with it, Jewel. He could not deal with it. So you can understand what he was doing. You could.
Yes. But here's the thing, Brother Thomas, and I always say there's many sides to a story, right?
Yeah.
There's your story, there's his story, and then there's God's story, who sees
Amen.
Everything. And we know
Amen.
That, of course, this is, you know, inspired by God, but we always have to keep in mind that
mm-hmm.
someone wrote down their version of the story.
And I know.
So when I initially heard this story, I thought to myself, well, were there any witnesses?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you said, and when I say you, I'm referring to the gentleman who
The Amalekite. There was only one witness. Mm-hmm.
You claimed that he asked you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know that to be a fact.
No, we don't.
When David arrived, you had already taken the crown and his jewelry. Right?
Yeah, he'd taken his crown and taken his bracelet. And I would think probably had his spear as well.
And probably had his spear. So we can see a motive, possibly,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
just by what is in your hand.
Right.
And
right.
I think, and the reason why I bring this up is that people can tell you all kinds of stories
mm-hmm.
as to why
they do the things they do.
Or done the things that they've done.
Yeah.
I think it's our responsibility
mm-hmm.
as believers in truth
mm-hmm.
and honesty
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to look into, well, what would be the motive
mm-hmm.
of such a deed?
Well, I want to ask you something with this. So interjecting this in here. So normally the anointed is taken by God, right?
The anointed is not to be touched
right.
by man or even, it's funny that you asked that. They're not to be touched by man or even Satan. Satan
right.
understands that
right.
very well. And how we know he understands that? Well, when we think back to Job.
Exactly.
He asked God for permission
yes.
to even bother Job.
Exactly. He had to go to God to ask permission. He did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The reason why he asked for permission is because he knew the law. He knew universal law. He knew God's law. He knew
yeah.
that there would be a huge penalty to even
yeah.
touch a hair on Job's head.
Exactly, because that's God's decree.
Exactly.
You know, you don't trespass on God's decree. And even
mm-hmm.
even Satan knew this. And so that's why he said, hello, can I come in a minute? And he's saying, you got this guy down here that you say is just, you know, whoo, he is so strong in the faith. And I've seen him, you know, this doesn't seem like anything is wavering his faith in you. So I'm asking
okay.
a favor. Lord, I want to get your approval first.
Yes.
Can I put him through the test?
Mm-hmm.
And God says, yes, you can. Because God knew that Job was a godly man. And he says, but here's the deal. You cannot harm him. You cannot kill him. Now, you can bring him to death, to death's door, but you cannot kill him. Is that understood? Devil says, sure, that's fine with me. I'm going to get this man to turn. You just wait and see. I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to prove that there is no man on this earth that will go through what he's going to go through. What I'm going to put him through, these tests I'm going to put him through, there is
mm-hmm.
no way that he's not going to fold and say, I am the true king, that I am the true God. That I am the one that he needs to believe in, have faith in. He'll turn away from you, God. I know it. I know it. So God says, okay, go ahead. You have your free will. You do what you want to do. Appreciate you coming to me and asking me. You know the rules of engagement. So there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think today, we're still seeing some of that
mm.
play out in many of anointed people's lives.
Amen.
But yet still, these people aren't asking God's permission to
no.
To harass them, to
right.
stalk them, to
right.
terrorize them, to do illegal experimenting
yeah.
on them.
Yeah.
But maybe
Jewel, we need to tell these people anointed sounds like it's a different type of thing. What we're referring to is there are people in this world today that are the chosen. Okay? Now, these are people that God has put in a protective bubble, would you say, Jewel? A bubble? That they will not be harmed, that they will survive, that mm-hmm. they will endure as long, and here's the stipulation, that they keep their faith in God. If they turn from God, then they've made another decision, and he's not going to like it.
There will be heavy repercussions for that. But I don't want to over-glorify.
And I'm not. Yeah, I just don't. Sometimes you think anointed, though, it's like somebody who's like, you know, when I think anointed, I think of somebody, let's do royalty. So royalty does, I anoint you, you know, you are now a knight. You know how they get the knighthood? So they're anointed. Yeah. There is a royal decree. This person is now knight so-and-so. Okay? So that's what I'm thinking of. And that's what I see as anointing. But you're exactly right. See, God chose Saul. Remember the story of Saul. Saul happened to be a person that God had told the person before, said, there's going to be a guy come to the city gate, and he's going to ask a certain question, and he's going to have a certain thing he's going to be there for, and he is going to be the new king of Israel. He just happened to be a passerby, but he got to be king. And he took on that role as king. And he thought, hey, I'm it. You know, I'm raising my lapels up and I'm walking high and bright and mighty and I can do no harm and nobody can do no harm to me. Mm-hmm. But guess what? He fell short of God. He did.
He became arrogant. And that happens to a lot of anointed individuals if they find out prematurely or they just become too caught up in
the world,
the authority and worldly possessions, they can fall short.
Well, you know what I think it is, Jewel? It's the power. It's the power.
Yes.
The power that they're given. People's life. I mean, Saul saw nothing wrong with throwing a spear at David at least twice.
No. But the thing is, what we saw there was jealousy and envy. Because,
oh, very much. Very much.
And let me go back and kind of clarify what I meant by not over-glorifying.
Mm-hmm.
Anointed or so-called chosen mm-hmm. individuals. Because mm-hmm. I know we're hearing a lot of that in social media.
Oh, yeah.
And I think sometimes when you hear it so much, it kind of loses
resonate.
It doesn't really resonate. And then, you know, people are wondering, well, why are these people labeled as anointed or chosen and why not me
and it creates this friction. Oh God,
I just want to bring some clarity, much needed clarity to the situation, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that being chosen does not mean that God doesn't love you or anything.
You any more than anybody else. He loves everyone evenly. And that's what I feel so in tune with. God loves
the thing is,
everyone.
He does love you. And I always say that I think he gives people a much longer rope than they
he
deserve.
He does. Good Lord, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes for nothing in this world. Mm-mm.
But I want to say this. Chosen individuals are individuals that were sent here on a specific assignment.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
They were chosen to do something and predestined to do something before they arrived.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Well, look at David, for instance. I mean, look what he did. Okay, he's a young boy. He would go out and he would practice with his, what did he have? He had his stones and he had his sling.
His little slingshot.
Yeah, and so he would practice every day and he hit his target. Yeah. Now, he didn't know why he was doing it. It's just something he liked to do. But then he kept seeing these people running and he's going, where are these people headed to? Why are they so scared? Here's little David. Huge Goliath, you know, big difference. I mean, the people of the town, of the armies and everything, they were fearful of Goliath. But David said, oh, hell no. I'm not afraid of this man just because he's taller than me, bigger than me, can cut me up in four different sections. It don't matter. I am who I am. I'm going to put my best foot forward. And he did that. And it made Goliath to say, who is this kid who dares stand up against me? All of these other soldiers are running. They're heading for the hills. Why is this one so brave? So he's amazed by him. In fact, he was kind of going, man, little man, you're something else. You're something else. I have to take my hat off to you. Well, he did. He took his hat off to him. He basically said, literally. And so he says, just who the heck do you think you are that you're going to stand up here against me? And what are you using as your weapon? I see no weapon on you. And he's going, you know, I'm just amazed by this. So let's go into this a little bit further here. Well, as the story, you know, goes on, it says basically that David's just talking with him and he's saying, And basically, I think he basically says, I'm going to play a game with you. I'm going to bet you that I can throw this stone from my sling and hit you smack dab in the middle of your head and you'll fall down dead. Goliath says, sure, right. I don't believe it. He says, okay, do you want to put it to the test? He says, sure, go ahead. Hit me with your best, you know, you heard the expression, hit me with your best shot. What do you think that comes from? Hit me with your best shot. So he did. He said, okay, babe. Go right ahead, little one. Hit me with your best shot. Bam! Ha! First, his eyes roll back. Goliath's eyes roll back, and he just automatically collapses. And all the people of the town and all the armies are going to say, what? What just happened here? How is this little kid able to stand up against big old bad Goliath, and he defeats him. He kills him. When none of us could do that. So the people of the town said, hallelujah, hallelujah, our David has arrived. You see? So that's how David got the recognition and the acclimate because he had done something nobody else would do. He had faith. He had faith in God. God gave him a talent. And the talent was that he could throw that stone and hit his pinpoint direction to do what it needed to do. First shot out. One, two, or three shots, first shot out. Hit me with your best shot. And he did. Amen, amen. Oh,
amen. Thank you, Thomas, for breaking that down. What I was trying to explain to everyone is... similar to the example that Brother Thomas gave about David, is for us to understand that he was already expected to do that prior to his arrival. Right? And David may not even have known that was in him, but that moment was already
predestined. It was predestined
for David. To get into his positioning, right?
God already had favor with David for whatever reason, and I don't understand that. We're not privy to that. But apparently God already had, you know how some people say, well, God has touched that one, and he has his finger on that one? I guess that had something to do with, just like with Saul. God knew that Saul was going to be coming in 3 days. This man would be at the gate, and he would be the one that would take over running the country, running the nation of Israel. And he did. So we are not in control. God is.
The thing is,
we are just simply participants in this life.
David, being that he was already chosen by God, mm-hmm. and those of you who are still on the fence of this whole chosen thing, let me break it down even further. There are many religious groups that know exactly who are chosen. And you may ask, well, how do they know this? They look into your chart when you're born. And there's information in your chart. Some people refer to it as your Akashic records that may tell a story of what you're destined to become. Whether you're destined to become a king like David or a religious teacher well known around, or just the next Bill Gates, whatever it is.
I wouldn't want to be the next Bill Gates. I'd rather be somebody better than him. I don't like that man.
But the point being is that there are that information, it should not be tapped into, really. We should allow God to bring things naturally into play. And I'm going to explain to you why we should and why we shouldn't tap into it. Because when these religious groups or cults tap into that information, it brings about certain kind of emotions.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why did God pick this person to become this in their future? I am going to change that. I want to be David. What can I do to switch my positioning or destiny, if you will, with David? These are emotions and feelings that we should not be having, because if we did not tap into that hidden information, we probably would have been aides to David. We probably could have worked along with David and been part of the story of bringing God's kingdom to play together versus I want to be the king. And I need to kill you to become king, which brings us back to this slain king that we have here.
Right.
You know,
I want to say something. Do you think, and you know how nothing is coincidence? It's not. Do you think that God placed that Amalekite soldier in the vicinity of Saul? I think so.
Yes,
I think so.
I do.
I think that was predestined. I think Saul knew he couldn't do what he wanted to do. He failed.
Even Saul had his judgment coming.
Yes, it is.
You know, and that was the point that I was trying to make to people, is that, you know, a lot of times people want to switch their destinies with other people.
Yeah, they want to change roles.
You can't fill those shoes. You weren't built to be that person.
No.
So you weren't even built to carry the weight of what they can carry in terms of in terms of just the warfare that that God has destined them to go through.
The spiritual warfare. Exactly.
And this is not something to brag about, because even the people he built to take it on don't want to go through it. But he built them for such a moment, right? So when you look at these people and you have these feelings of envy and jealousy, understand that if God said, oh, okay, you think you can take on what David took on? Okay.
You can rise to the occasion.
Come on. Don't just look at what he's going to gain in terms of his kingdom. Here's his portion of battles that he had to go through for
I'm going to say this. What will he be his price to pay?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you want the accolades and you want the royalties and you want all this stuff, but are you willing to pay with the price of your life?
They don't.
No.
They don't want that part of the journey.
No,
they don't want that part that entails torture, harassment.
They wouldn't put up with it.
Slander. That's the part that they want to bypass.
Yeah, they want the easy route. They want the easy route. They want
to.
You know what I look at the Akasha record?
The benefit.
It's a cheat sheet.
Yes. Yes. They want to copy the test from behind you while taking a totally different test.
Yeah.
Because all they can see is the crown that Saul had and the jewels on his wrist. And they want to take it off.
Yeah.
You know? This is the reality of what we're seeing in terms of people saying I want to be this person.
Yeah.
I
but you know one thing I want to say about the Malachi, you know, I really think that he thought he was doing a certain we don't know. He's the only witness. We realize that. But so if he really genuinely was there, and basically that was his moment in time, okay? And he saw that there was the king's crown and his you know, wrist band and his spear, and these were things that he knew would be cherished by David, and he knew the story of David and Saul and Jonathan, and so he was the eyewitness. So no one knew that these two had perished unless he had come forward and told David. And he did. And that's why he fell at David's feet, because he was saying, you know, Lord, I have come humbly to your palace here to tell you these things, that your arch enemy, your nemesis has perished. And so he gave him this information. So you would think in a way that David would be thankful, gracious, and he was, I guess, to some extent, because he did throw a dinner. I mean, you know, saying, you know, hello, you did this, you brought me this information, and then he kind of bothered him, kept thinking about it, and he's going, now, why did you say again that you came? You know, what was the reason? Was it so that I would throw you this dinner and you would get this praise and accolades and all this stuff, that you were there at the right time, at the right moment? Or was it that basically you've come to me and told me this story in hopes that I won't take your life because you're the one that told me that good old Saul and Jonathan died? Which was it? And I think that's what it is. That's what it is. And then as you're reading in the scripture, it says this. It says basically that, you know, the guy says, okay. And David says, okay. You came and told me. You spoke this from your own mouth. Your own words have done you in, because it is not your place to take the life of the anointed. Amen and amen.
Yes, amen, amen. I think what really grabbed my attention in that particular section is when David said, who gave you the authority to do that? Because like you said, this guy came and he saw, and this plays out even today, right?
It does.
Because believe it or not, some people in certain religious groups think that if they can sacrifice a chosen or anointed one,
they'll rise to the occasion. They will step in their place.
Yes. And they do this, they want to do the same thing as this guy did.
They want their payday.
Come to the leader of the group or come to Satan and say, look what I've sacrificed, a chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
And lacking wisdom and understanding, even Satan would tell them the same thing David said. What did
you
say,
boy? You screwed up.
there's rules.
How dare you take God's? Mm-hmm. his anointed. How dare you take his life?
I know you thought you were going to be promoted as this guy thought he was going to be the right-hand man to David. Oh, it's going to be great after this. This is how I'm jumping to the top.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you can't touch that person. You didn't even ask for permission. Where are you getting your information?
Uh-huh.
I don't want that on my hand, the blood that you just shed. The rules, the universal laws you just broke, I don't want to be tied into that. Because it comes with repercussions.
It comes with a price. It comes with a price. It does. And David saw that.
David knew it, and he saw it in his own understanding and wisdom.
Uh-huh.
He said, I don't want that on my hands.
No.
I have to show my allegiance to God that when he said, do not touch my anointed, even though that same anointed was trying to attack David, he still kept the law.
He respected him, Jewel. He respected the law.
And this is what I'm trying to emphasize to you. There is a law.
A universal law. Yeah.
And if you don't understand universal law, you can bring down such a generational curse for your greed and attempt to bypass the law.
Yeah. You want to get to the front of the line. You know, did you always hate the ones that broke line, Jewel? Didn't you hate that in school? I did. I said, where did you get off? I've been in this line for how long a time? And you come in here, or if you're walking, waiting for a get tickets in a theater. Oh, I really hated that one. Where they would come up and say, oh, hi, Janie, how are you? And they just sit there and talk, and then they get in line.
Uh-huh.
That ain't it. You go to the back of the line, buddy. You go to the back of the line, because you didn't get here. You weren't here on time. You didn't get the explanation. There are going to be X number of tickets, and they're going to be given at the window, and you had better be in line at this time, at this place, ready to get them. And these people show up, and they stand up in front of you? I don't like that. No. Mm-mm. Go to the back of the line. Wait your turn.
Yeah, that's an interesting example, and I think the day-to-day example that we have of that still – for those of you drivers that drive cars,
you guys
know those people that always have to jump in front, and they will jump in front.
Oh, I hate that. Don't you hate the ones that even go on the median?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know what? When I see it, I think about the spiritual meaning of how they're rushing to nowhere.
Yeah. How can they be so much in a hurry that they can't wait in line like everybody else is? How do they think that they can take the law into their own hands? And that's exactly what they're doing.
That's what they do. And it cracks me up because sometimes they really think they're getting ahead, and they race in front of you right to the red light, right in front of you. And they're like, okay, you got to the red light first.
So here's the one even better. So they're going down the interstate, right? And they're dipping all around everybody, right? Well, guess what karma? You know, part of karma? Guess what? Karma is a bitch. And let me say why. Because karma says, you think you're going to get to the front of the line? Well, I got news for you. There's something waiting for you at that front of the line that you're not aware of. So they cross over that intersection. Do you know what they get hit with, Jewel?
What is it?
They get fishbone. Boom!
Oh, my gosh.
So doing all of this stuff that they're doing, okay, they get at the front of the line, and they cross over the intersection, and they think, oh, I've got it made in the shade. Bam! They're T-boned.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, then. Karma is that bitch, and karma put them in their place. Mm-hmm. And they ended up saying, okay, that car is off to the side of the road, and we're keep on going. You see what happens?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's the same kind of mentality that we see play out day to day.
Yeah, it's the truth.
They're not getting anywhere any faster.
No,
they're basically,
Jewel, they're spinning the damn wheels.
Yes.
And getting nowhere. How many times have we gone through life, Jewel, and we felt like we're spinning our wheels?
Yeah, is that the hamster wheel we talked about?
Exactly, the hamster wheel where you think you're getting somewhere, or you're climbing Jacob's ladder. You know, back in the Old Testament, you know, they wanted to climb Jacob's ladder. Well, Tower of Babel. That was told to them, you know, because at one time, people, they all spoke the same language. They had the same telepathy. They didn't even have to speak. They had telepathy. And so they knew exactly what the task was at hand. And they were to build this Tower of Babel. And everybody was striving to get to the top. They wanted to be God.
Yes.
Because they were promised that if they got to the top, they would become God.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God told them, said, don't eat of the tree. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge, because you're not going to want to know what you know. And they said, oh, that can't be. And good old Satan comes along. He says, hey, Eve, how are you? Hey, pretty thing. Well, let me tell you this. Do you think that God is just being selfish? I think so. He don't want you to know what he knows. That's why he don't want you to eat of this fruit. And everybody says it's an apple. That ain't right. More like a fig tree. Because once they did know the knowledge, Jewel, what happened? Eve said, oh, my God, I'm naked. Who told you were naked?
Yeah.
She felt it. She felt like I am not protected. I need to cover myself. So then she gave the fig to Adam. Whoops. Adam did the same thing. Gee goodness. I gotta respect my image. God comes along. Adam, where are you? You know God knew where Adam was. He just wanted him to step forward and say, here I am, Lord. Adam, why are you wearing clothing? Huh? You know?
Jewel?
Why were you, God says to Adam, why are you clothed? Why aren't you naked? Naked is how you came into this world. Why? What's the difference? What changed? All right, God already knew. He knew it all. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But he wanted Adam to come up with some kind of excuse. He did.
Yep.
And he got a real good excuse. Eve made me do it. Blame it on the woman. You know, Jewel, that's a cheap shot, ain't it? Why couldn't he own up and say, you know what, God, I wanted it. I wanted the knowledge. I said, damn, I'm going to get that knowledge. He didn't. He was sheepish. He said, she made me do it.
And that's the thing. That's what we see playing out still. Today is lack of accountability, and then when the story gets cracked all the way open and we find out who did what and how did it happen, you're going to see the people pointing fingers and say, well, this person did that and that person did this, but there's still going to be a lack of accountability
and not a lack of clarity and no clarity.
You can play God in some way.
Exactly. Place. You don't step into that realm. No. But see, when they go to try to take God's law and try to do it their way, and they want to say, I don't believe in God, or I don't think God's all powerful. And basically, that's where we are right now, people. We don't turn to God no more. We turn to the evilness of this world. We look for that, the materialistic things of this world, to get us through, to buy our way a ticket into heaven. You can't buy a ticket into heaven.
No.
You can't. You can't buy a ticket into heaven by good deeds. No.
Mm-mm.
Good deeds don't get you there. What gets you there is having faith in Jesus, in Yeshua. That's what gets you into heaven, because Yeshua called forth and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. So in other words, you got to pass through my clearance. if I approve your clearance, you're okay to go. But that's the rules. So the rules of engagement, they want to change them. They think now that the rules have changed, that God is not important. And that's why God's wrath is finally at a boiling point. You know, he's slow to anger. But when he does lose it, I sure don't want to be around when he loses it. I don't. No. I'd rather be up in heaven going, and say, oh, you poor souls, you don't know what you're going to get. Because this man has put, he has put up with so much. And he has forgiven so much. And he has said they will turn from their wickedness. They will do so. I believe it. They're going to be like Job. In the end, they're going to be there. And they're not. And he says, I'm done. I've had it.
Yeah.
You better get on board. You better get on the train to heaven or you're going to get left at the station. Amen, amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that said, Brother Thomas, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the spirit of betrayal.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because as Thomas just talked about men betraying God in that example. But I want to elaborate more on this spirit of betrayal, of not just God, of failing God, but failing your loved ones.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, fail yourself, Jewel. My God, that's the ultimate. When you go and you betray someone, you're failing yourself.
You failed the test on so many levels. So you're absolutely right. In doing so, you failed God, you failed your loved ones, and you failed yourself.
Yeah.
All
a triple threat.
I never heard that one before. But
it's the truth.
Yeah. It's so true. In more ways than one, you have become a triple threat. And that, you know, the Bible says that loyalty is the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Avarice is the root of all evil, and loyalty is the fruit. You got it. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And it's in how you see your leaders and the critical relationships you have in your life.
Yes. Right? How you handle yourself. Mm-hmm.
If you see a mother betray daughter or father betray son, I think if you have wisdom you would think, this is not someone I would possibly want to do business with.
Right.
Because
Jonathan saw that, Jewel. You know, in other words, he saw what Saul, pardon the kind of phraseology there, he saw what Saul didn't see or refused to see. He refused to read the handwriting on the wall. Mm-hmm. God had said, Saul, you did your best, and I appreciate what you did, but then you turned to the wicked ways. So you turned against me. And because of that, you cannot get to the pearly gates. Okay? You're not going to go any further than what I tell you you're going to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan said, you know what? I don't want no part of this. Don't put me in the same boat with my father. God, please don't do that. And he says, I see that David is the chosen one. He is to be the next anointed, and I'm in favor of it. I will do everything I can to protect him, to bow down and show him homage. And respect that he has earned. And David did earn all that he got. Because realize this, he's the one who stood up against Goliath. Nobody else did. Saul didn't do nothing like that.
No.
He didn't. Saul came in and took on the royal decree and the accolades and the money and all that crap. And he didn't earn it.
Yeah.
He had not earned it. But it was bestowed upon him.
If you notice, even as David was being attacked by Saul, he never betrayed him.
No, in fact, Jewel, he never even took a sword to Saul.
He never
could have struck Saul down.
that's the wisdom that I would like to pass on to you guys, in that even if you know that you are being attacked,
being betrayed
by a loved one, it's best for you to move on.
Yeah, walk away from it.
To take up a sword and go after them.
Yeah, and David surely could, because David was the rightful heir. He understood, because I think God revealed it to him in dreams and said, you're going to be the one. And he said, no, I ain't going to be the one. He said, you're going to be the one. And he said, no, I ain't going to be the one. Saul's in there. No. I don't care if he chases me to this town and that town and I run and I flee. I would rather do that than take this anointed person's place. I will not do so. Mm-hmm. But God says, no, you don't understand. This man has gone wicked. His own son has protected you. Why would he do that? Because he knows. He knows that he is destined, predestined, to see this played out. Now, I don't think Jonathan knew that his life was in a limited state. Do you think so? I don't. I think he thought that he was simply going to see the crown pass to David, and he was going to be like David's second-hand man or first-hand man. Didn't you think so? I think I think he saw himself in that realm. But when push comes to shove and his father goes out into the battlefield, and he should not have, but you see, that was his arrogance. You see, he thought that he could not be defeated. He had been told that. Remember in those other scriptures that we said? You know, basically Saul had been told that he's the Almighty, that no one can step up against him. Nobody will be successful against him. He will prevail. So in this pan, he took himself out there and put himself in danger. And he did. And Jonathan was there to protect his father. And he did. He gave up his life for his father. He did.
Yeah. Well, if you recall, Brother Thomas, when we talked about Saul, I forgot what podcast that was. But there was one where we talked about him going to a practitioner of sorts.
Wasn't it Rich Man, Poor Man?
It may have been Rich Man, Poor Man.
I think it was.
And that practitioner used some sort of divination and awoken a spirit, right? And the spirit said, why did you awake me for this?
Yeah.
This is what's still playing out today, right?
Yeah.
Behind the veil.
Yeah, it was Rich Man, Poor Man, because remember... Well, remember you had the rich man who basically, he said, you know, okay, you're going to go to hell. Okay, I'll go there. But then he said, you know, hey, hello. Can you do me a favor? I got brothers that are going to fall the same way. The curse, okay? And I can see what's happening here. I'm sweating and I'm burning and all this kind of stuff. And I don't want them to come the way of me. Okay? So I want you to intercede on my behalf. Okay? And so I forget who it was that he talked to. Who was it? Anyway, he said, don't you understand they have every right to go to, you know, the disciples and say, hey, you know, I know my brother was bad, but I'm good. So listen to what I say, not what I do. All right. But then the rich man was told, sorry, you don't get that extra chance at life. You gave it up. They got to do the same thing. Every stone, every pot has to sit on its own bottom, you know? And if they have done evilness in this world, rest assured that stone is going to get uncovered. And what will you find under that stone? Well, there's a whole lot of deception. There's a whole lot of evil. There's a whole lot of murder, all these things are unearthed, uncovered under that stone.
Yep.
And it's the truth. And so you do these things, you got to pay the price. If you take someone's life, you better be willing to do the time. Okay? So if you do these things, rest assured, your sins shall find you out. The truth will prevail. And it will. Because God wills it to be that way. Truth will win every time. Now,
absolutely.
That time, Jewel, will may not be on our time frame. It's on God's.
No.
God determines when that truth will come out.
Mm-hmm. And I want to add to that just a little bit too. Not only does God determine when the truth will be revealed, but He also determines who He designated in terms of chosen people to reveal it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Right, Brother Thomas.
Oh yeah.
And so things that people may have been doing behind the scenes. Religious organizations getting away with certain crimes.
They were behind the curtain, you know.
Yeah.
Just like the Wizard of Oz. You realize that that wizard looked like he was a fearful one. Everybody was scared of him.
Yes.
But then when Dorothy pulled back the curtain, she saw this little bitty old man and said, "Who are you?
Yeah.
You're him?"
Yes.
That's what it is.
So, like I was saying, collaborating with different individuals and getting away with tons of crimes. And
They are promised the world, Jewel. They're promised the world, and they come back empty-handed.
Feeling almost invincible and convinced that the way to success is to sell your soul because you've seen so many people.
Well, don't you think, Jewel, that the devil tells them, he promises them that they can be master of their own universe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what he promises them. You'll be an ascended master, right?
Yeah. You'll be better than God.
Yeah, if you sacrifice this and give up that person and lie, cheat, steal, and, you know, I'll give you the resources to get away with it.
And that's why family members turn on family members. I can't believe that. Jewel?
Yes, I'm sorry. I had a little technical difficulty there. I hope I wasn't gone too long.
No, just a few seconds. That's all. But it was kind of dramatic. I mean, it was a dramatic pregnant pause, as you say.
We do drama well here. please continue.
I'm telling you, I said, oh no. I don't know that my power got recorded. I think the whole recording just stopped. It did.
It
gave me a message saying, you're the last party in this call. I'm going, what?
Oh my God. let me tell you. You know what? I'm going to have a little sidebar for you guys.
The devil
I was going to say that in so many words. When you are speaking truth, and I mean the real, just authentic truth that has been hidden from many people, because obviously a lot of us are busy with our life, right?
Yeah.
Our work, kids.
Yeah.
Most people are not privy to a lot of things being done behind the veil,
right,
and how people are getting away with criminal conduct right under our nose because we are so busy, right?
Well, Jill, you want to know something? Have you not heard the expression, the devil is in the details?
Yes, absolutely. So the devil is in the details, and sometimes people don't know that they're even being set up.
No, they
right?
don't.
Because
they don't.
You couldn't fathom that a group would use its resources to do just that it seems unbelievable.
Gaslighted. Well, basically, they gaslighted you.
Yeah.
You didn't ask for this.
No. But you know what? I've accepted my call and all of the wisdom that come with it.
Amen.
So
That's why we got the podcast, people. That's why we're doing the podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you didn't know it by now, you need to know this. We are doing this podcast because God ordained it.
Yes. Yes. One of the things I can tell you about my experience and things that I've seen to date is that I've seen many people laugh now and cry later.
Oh, yeah.
I've
wailing.
Yes.
Well, yes. And it doesn't say in the end days, Jewel, in the Revelations it says they will do weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why? Why? Because they made the wrong decision.
They made
the wrong choice. Yeah. But it's too late then.
I've seen many people believe that they can outsmart God despite how many people came before them and thought the very same thing.
And a lot of these people, Jewel, are religious people.
Oh,
you
deeply.
Know that?
Deeply.
I'm going to tell you one that I know. You know who Aaron Copland is?
I don't. I'm not familiar. No.
Oh, God. Well, he's one of these mega preachers.
Uh-huh.
Okay? From olden. My years. Okay? And this guy is so arrogant that they had this one reporter comes up to him and she said, "Don't you feel bad about what you do?" He says, "What do you mean, girly?" And she says, "Well, you know, you're taking all this money from the church and you're buying these four or five houses and you got a brand new airplane and all this crap. Don't you feel bad?" He says, "You know I need to fly somehow, don't I? Why don't I deserve it?" And he gave this wild-eyed look at her, and I mean, his eyes looked demonic. His face changed. He was a shapeshifter. And we didn't know it. Aaron Copland. Oh, everyone used to think Aaron Copland was like, you know, Billy Graham. You know? They walked on water. That they were so involved in the spirit of God and godly deeds, and they exalted themselves as being the ones to save all these people from their sins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they allowed the devil to talk to them and say, "Hey, you know, you got a good thing going here. Who gives you that power? Did God give you that power? Remember where you came from. Well, who were you? Mm-hmm. Who do you think gave you that? Well, who do you think going to step up to the plate, devil? He going to say, I gave it to you. Hello? You need to bow down to me. You need to worship me. You're right." Aaron Copland said, "You're right." Because he's Southern. Wow. So he talked that way. And so he said, "You're right. I need to realize from whence I came. God didn't help me get here. You did." Oh, Lord. I don't know why God ain't sent some lightning bolts down some people, Jewel. I swear.
Yeah.
I swear.
Well, you know, Thomas, you know how I have shared many stories of other women who have been either attacked or targeted by a specific religious group internationally.
Well, Nina Ritchie. We've had Nina Ritchie on. We know how she was targeted.
Nina.
Oh my God,
A few others that reached out to me, but I want to share a story with you guys that was shared with me. And my spirit has moved me to share it with you guys today.
Good.
There was a woman who came into some fortune, right, from an inheritance. And the woman had a physician, and the physician, she had shared with the physician about this
inheritance
fortune that she was coming into.
Oh, I got it.
She had no idea that the physician started to have the notion of
doing her in.
Doing her in for this inheritance that she had.
Oh, my God, because he had privileged knowledge.
Yes, because of the privileged knowledge. So he came up with the idea of giving a false diagnosis. You would think that would be egregious enough. At least many of us are like, you would think these things don't happen, you know.
Right. Nina said that. Did that happen to Nina? Didn't somebody step forward and say that she was crazy? She needed to be put in a mental institution?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, people never, unfortunately, see the hidden motive for all of these actions. But needless to say, he came up with that notion of mm-hmm. how he was going to get to her fortune.
Wow.
And that wasn't enough. He also utilized his resources to gaslight this woman.
Yeah.
To the point where...
Probably even got family members to be bought in on it.
Oh, that's what I'm leading to. He had other people come and do things to this woman's home.
Why did I see that coming?
And when she would leave to go report the things done,
yeah.
they would fix back the things that they did, so she would so
like
give the
idiot.
Appearance.
Yeah,
that
she's crazy.
Crazy or that
she's loony tunny.
But no one would believe that they would go to this extent to try to steal from this woman, right?
That's right.
That is just so much work. I mean, imagine doing a wreck and coming back and cleaning it up and doing this and doing that. I mean, it just seems to the average person that is a lot of work.
And why do these underlings do it? Why do they do it?
That's just the tip of the iceberg, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as he continued to try to create these false narratives, these false mm-hmm. Stories and sell it to various people to get involved and participate so they can get their share of this woman's fortune.
Well, because he had the position in society, Jewel, that he could do that. And they believed him over her.
Yes, and that's the thing that we have
to. It's hard to swallow. It really is.
To.
She's good. She's telling the truth.
Yes,
she really has been telling the truth, but nobody believes her.
Part is that here's this woman standing in her truth, standing,
in her
mm-hmm. faith, and these people out of greed.
Have come out of the woodwork against her.
Have all
in every corner
this,
she turns.
Alliance
she's faced
with
it.
But bring on this spirit of betrayal.
Yes.
In the worst diabolical way that I think anyone could imagine.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If you were in this woman's shoes, right, and you just imagine
I think
that,
you throw up your hands and go, I give up.
Well, that's the goal.
Uh-huh.
That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we move into this new age in time and realize
mm-hmm.
That this can happen and
it
is
does
happening,
happen. Mm-hmm.
and it does happen,
mm-hmm.
I think we would be.
I cannot believe this. Two in one night. Wow.
Well, if you guys weren't certain when I told you before that I'm lifting a veil, I think it's pretty evident now, right?
Yeah, they're stopping it. They're trying to shut us down.
I was disconnected again once I told you guys it is happening.
Yeah.
And I think we have to
really, be ready. Head on a swivel.
yeah, and reassess what's really been going on. For ages and the leeway we have given
mm-hmm.
people in certain
mm-hmm.
realms, in certain roles, to be able to facilitate.
Right, but you
know,
Jewel, the thing of it is that we need to wrap it up and say this is, there's always a payday someday, and it depends on what your payday is going to be. So is your payday going to be you're going to have freedom of your faith, and it's going to get you to heaven because you have faith in Yeshua? Or
mm-hmm.
are your payday going to be that you're going to be one of those that gets to burn in the lake of fire? You know? Because God's only got it two ways. That's a fact, Jack. Take it to the bank. Whatever you want to say. All these little things you want to say, you can do. Because that's just the way it is. And so when these people step out and they do the things that they do and they do the evilness that they do, they've got to know. Their day of reckoning is coming. Judgment Day is coming. And they don't realize it. They don't believe in Judgment Day, Jewel. You know that? They don't.
Well,
they have
you'd be surprised. Some of them have sold their souls and are convinced
I know.
that you know,
they think they're invincible. They think they're invincible.
Yeah, well, the reason why is because
they believe the story.
So many law officials and different organizations are turning a blind eye and allowing this kind of lawless plotting and planning to occur.
Exactly.
And so that's why they may feel invincible.
Yeah.
But, you know, the funny thing about our father, he has a way of reminding.
Oh, he's got his
the
ways,
most
all
prominent
right.
Individual that you're not.
He's going to bring them down. Not. That judgment day is coming, people, and he gonna bring these people down.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be in their shoes for nothing. Holy moly, no way, Jose.
And I hope, Brother Thomas, that in paying homage to those that came before me and dealt with these similar stories,
like your
this
grandfather,
story
your grandfather.
That I've just shared with you, and paying homage to my very own grandfather. You know, as I walk into my calling, Brother Thomas, you know, these individuals that have taken bribes to sweep criminal conduct under the rug and turned a blind eye to it all.
Yeah. But, you know, realize this, Jewel, that some of them actually feel like they're doing the world a justice.
Yes.
Now, the way they do things, just for instance, Amalekite soldier. He thought he was doing the right thing.
They do.
He brought
But we have
the,
to look past it and look at their true motives, in all honesty. Is this the right thing that you've done?
And he should have. I don't know if he knew the rules. I don't know. But, you know, in that day and time, what David's saying, you had no right. You had no right to step in and take what was not yours. Take this man's life.
Exactly.
So we don't know if this soldier is not the one that killed Jonathan. We don't know. We don't.
You know, my ultimate hope is, Brother Thomas, that these tactics that have been used will be exposed.
They will be.
In all communities
in
and walks of life around the world.
Yeah, in time it will be. We will
because
see that.
I truly believe.
According to God, he says that we will witness the days of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
We will see it. But I don't think we'll be participants. I think we will look at it from afar, like through binoculars. I'd rather look at it through binoculars. I don't want to have anything to be even near what's going to go on, the destruction. No. I'd rather look through a looking glass. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to see it that way. And praise God, I hope that's what I get. I hope to heaven that I don't have to look upon this total destruction of this world. I don't want to.
Amen. And for those of you who have been following my podcast, I want to thank you. And if you are, chosen and you've experienced what I've shared and described,
a tenth of what we've experienced in this
or
podcast.
Even a portion.
God, step forward. You know, be heard.
Well, tell one, you're always welcome here to tell
Amen.
Your story.
Amen.
But two, I want to congratulate you for making it this far.
Amen.
All right.
And I tell you, we've had some really loyal followers. It's been an amazing journey. Now, I'm not saying it's ending, but I'm just saying to this point, it has been an amazing journey. And I'm just going to say this. Should we lose the internet tomorrow? And I'm not saying we are. I'm not predicting anything. But should we lose the internet tomorrow? I think that we have given you food for thought. You know, that's basically what God's word is. It's food for thought. You can take it at face value or you can go into it deeper and you can see the true meaning. And you can get the true meaning if you'll go to Jesus and say, Yeshua, and say, Yeshua, I don't understand. Can you tell me what you're really meaning by these words? Because I'm looking at this from an interpretation of a man who wrote these words down, and I don't trust what he said. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. You are the ultimate decision. So if you say this is what you meant, I go by what you say. I'm not going to, and I know it's stepping on people's toes too, I know this, but King James Version, whatever version, it is realized this. It's a version. So are they giving you something that they want you to think? Is it the truth? Or is it what they want you to believe? You see, that's the thing. The devil wants you to believe certain things. So he's going to paint the picture a certain way. And that's what's going on with our history today in this world, in this country. We've been misled. We've been lied to. We've been played fools. We are still indentured servants. We're nothing more than slaves to this evil government. Amen and amen. And it is time for us to wake up and smell the coffee. Or another word I said was, start smelling the shit that they're shoveling.
Well, language, please.
I know, but it does make, all right, but you know, it gets the point across. Don't you think you can smell it? If you smell it, you know what it smells like. And if they're shoveling it at you, you need to wake up and say, hey, I don't like what I'm smelling. Nah, I prefer to say smelling the coffee. I like smelling the coffee better than, you know what?
There you go. There you go.
Better than saying spelling S-H-I-T. But still, it gets the point across. So either, you know, you realize these things are happening. You see them happening in your workplace. You see them happening in your own family. You see them happening in your own municipality. You see them happening in your own state. And you most definitely see them happening in your own government. It's time to stand for what you believe. It's time to put God back into control.
Amen.
And we're not doing it. And we're not doing it. And that's what's frustrating God.
I want to share with our followers that even with everything you've heard today, that may sound like it's overwhelming, especially to those living it and experiencing it. I want to emphasize that through all of this, as we have read about Job, your payback is coming.
Oh, yeah.
Your reward is coming.
And he got his reward.
For your steadfast
He got
faith.
His reward. He got his reward.
It's coming.
He was steadfast in his faith, and he did win.
What was destined for you, what was ordained for you in your life, is still yours. You just have to continue to trust God.
Amen.
That he's revealing what's being hidden, and he at the same time he's preparing you to walk fully into your purpose season.
Jewel, maybe I shouldn't say this to them, but we've crossed over into the fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
There are different dimensions. I didn't know this. I learned this, people, just recently. That there are different dimensions in our universe, and we have ascended to the, and there are apparently a lot more than just 5, 6, 7. There are a whole bunch of them, like 20 something, I think, is what they said. But anyhow, in this ascension, we have now ascended into the next, the fifth dimension. So we're there.
Mm-hmm.
We've accomplished that. And we should not sit back on our laurels and think we're safe, because we're not. We could easily fall back into their clutches, and that's what they're trying to do.
Yes.
Like what they're trying to do that woman, you know, the gaslighting, that physician. He saw the future. He knew what she was going to get. And he's doing everything, being an outsider who got privy information. And he turned it against her.
Yep, and that's what's happening time and time again. People are getting privy information. They're getting information about your future. They're getting information about your spiritual and physical inheritance before you. And using this information to your demise.
Yeah, or trying to. They don't realize our faith.
Or at least trying to.
They don't realize our faith.
And we have to open our eyes and our mind's eye, right, with our pineal gland, and ask deeper questions, just like how with the scripture today, I asked, well, how do we know that that's what happened? That was his version of the story.
We don't. It was a witness, an eyewitness. So we trust eyewitnesses, don't we?
Yeah.
So let's take in consideration. So let's do modern day, today. What have we been questioning all this time that happened on July the 13th, Jewel? Do you remember what happened on July 13th?
July the 13th of this year?
Uh-huh. The Trump attempted assassination.
Oh, I don't.
I know, but what I'm getting by this is, you know, see, we relied on eyewitness testimony. But was it true eyewitness testimony, or was it testimony that we chose to believe because of who the characters were? What is it? We don't know. We've been lied to so many times, right? Through our religion, through our education, through our government. We were told that our taxes are going to go for us. Bull crap, they're not. They're sent overseas to Ukraine. Time and time and time and time again. When's enough going to be enough? So we've been misled. So that eyewitness, could they not be the same one? That's what basically David took in saying. You know, you say you are who you say you are, and you say you are what you say you did, and I don't know. But you didn't have the right. You didn't have the right.
Exactly. Similarly, it would be like us taking a witness statement from that doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Well,
put
them
in court. So in other words,
say
they went to court and they stood up and they said, and what do we do when we go to court, Jill? Think about this. So they want to take away our right to the scripture, right? Mm-hmm. Remember they passed that law. They want to say, we can't talk about God because it's basically we're being anti-Semitic. Well, what it is then, how come it is when you go and do your testimony in court, what do they have you do?
To swear an oath on the Bible.
Bible. Why? Mm-hmm. Because the Bible is God's word. That's the first word of law.
Yeah.
So if you put your hand on that Bible, you're stating that I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God.
God. And
now,
the notion
who
is,
put God into it?
Well, what they're hoping is if they can't bind you physically, you just bounded yourself spiritually.
There you go.
So that's what's going on there.
Exactly. So basically, they're swearing. So apparently, y'all, when you swear something, that's binding. That's a contract you can't get out of.
Yeah.
So if you swear something and it ain't the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you know they can hold you in contempt and basically charge you with perjury. So you perjured yourself again. So these people who have stepped up to the plate, Jewel, and they have done the evil deeds, and they continue to do these things, basically, they have perjured themselves with God. He is the ultimate judge and jury. And he will serve them well in their sentence at judgment day. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. So with that said, I'm going to close out. But I want to remind all of you that the payday is coming, those of you who have been steadfast. So celebrate. Take time out for yourselves to reflect on your journey, the lessons learned. And
smell the roses and listen to the birds.
Smell the roses. And remember, you're not a victim. You may have been victimized.
Yes.
but you are.
But there are others like you. That's why we encourage you to come forward. The more that people come forward and say these same things that we're saying, we're not the only ones. Trust me, we're just the ones that have come forward and being vocal.
Yes,
and that's the truth.
And which is so important because it's kind of like a train, right?
Yeah.
That we get rolling.
Yeah.
When the more stories that come forth, the more aha moments we have and saying, oh,
yes.
I didn't
and that's what, Jewel, is that not what we're trying
happening.
To get across? We want these people to have the aha moment.
Yes. Yes.
And God, get this, people, God wants you to have the aha moment.
Yes. Yes. Because those of you who are natural investigators and
mm-hmm.
have had blocks with trying to
mm-hmm.
figure out how could this have been orchestrated, or how many people
mm-hmm.
could they pulled into this?
As many as they need.
And when your mind is blown to think of how many people would compromise
mm-hmm.
themselves
mm-hmm.
for, is it a shilling?
uh-huh. Well, look what Jesus did. I mean, he sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver.
Yes. That is the same spirit of betrayal that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That Judas had.
Yeah.
And although Judas appeared to be a man with a good heart, he allowed the devil to exploit his weakness and carelessness.
Well, you know what I found about good old Judas? You know, he had an ulterior motive. You know what it was?
What was
he
it?
He controlled the purse strings. Did you know that?
Well,
and so when he controlled the
purse, keep an eye on who controls
yeah,
the purse strings.
I know. And see what he did, he was see what God knew, well, what again Yeshua knew, was that he was siphoning.
Yeah.
He was siphoning off the top. And, you know, as long as he kept this thing going, this good thing going, you know, everything was rocking and rolling. But he wanted to have a say in what Yeshua did and where he would go. Now, he did not want him to go to those poor communities. He wanted to go to those communities that had the money, you know?
Yes.
Because he could ask, and just like churches today, they go and they say, okay, we want to have a whole revival. So are we going to go with a community that's got wealth, or we want to go with a community that's just got the poor? Well, I think you know what happens. They go with a community that's got the wealth. And the reason why
yes.
they do it is because they see they can get a piece of that pie. Hello? A piece of the pie. Well, that's what happened. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees knew they had their man. They already knew what he was guilty of.
Yeah.
So basically they said, hey, bud, it's this way or the highway. So you either take these 30 pieces of silver and you run with it, or you are going to be having to be held accountable yourself for what you've done. Because we know it. We know what you've done.
Yes. Yeah.
And so he had no choice. But when he realized what he had done, and he betrayed Yeshua, the kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a foreshadow to today of mm-hmm. some of your closest loved ones will
mm-hmm.
betray you.
They'll be the ones that will give you the biggest hug.
Mm-hmm. Hug and kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
So we say we're releasing those individuals. We're releasing any attempts to intentionally
yeah.
sabotage, set up
yeah.
or hold back,
yeah.
and betray someone.
Right.
And we are bringing in the celebration of the big payback.
Yeah.
So I just want to end it with a commentary I got.
Good. I want to hear them. You know, I love the commentaries too. Go ahead.
A podcast, which was very basic, but still, I appreciate the acknowledgement from Hokuse Megan, which she said, thank you so much for sharing, and you are absolutely welcome. We will continue to share. That was referring to the podcast, Let's Get Ready for the Last Hurrah, Case
yeah.
Hurrah, Hurrah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you appreciated it. We will continue to get them rolling. I know you guys are used to getting these podcasts on the Spotify, but it seems like the more transparent I'm becoming, the more blocked I'm getting and disconnected. So
mm-hmm.
I will keep on trying to find a way to get these podcasts
the
out.
Where there's a will, there's a way, and we know that God has the will, and he'll provide the way. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But, oh, my God, that makes me feel good, Jules. That woman, I mean, God, you think how long that podcast was. And that
it
means that she sat to the very end. And people, I want to say this to y'all. You know, we're concerned with time. We are. We've been told that we need to limit the time, but there's just so much to cover. And there really is. And when we get going, we get going. And, but we wrap it up and we get there and we get there in the end, and it's all God be the glory. And that's what it is. But, you know, it's this, there's a message that has to be told, and I'm a simple messenger, and that's all I am. I'm not trying to be God. No. People accuse me of being godlike. I would hope so. I like to be told I'm godlike, but I ain't God. You know, I want people, you know, when I was growing up, and I'll tell you this, I said, weren't you referred to as little goody two shoes?
I was told that before you.
Yeah, I hate that. I said, I am not no goody two shoes. Who am I to take on that responsibility? I'm not. I simply have faith, and I know right from wrong, and I can't step out of that position.
That realm. It's the spirit of justice and that we carry, where we want things to be made fair and just.
You know what, Jill, what we are? Do you know what we are, Jill? I just thought of it. God just gave us some food. God has given me all these things. We're the Justice League.
Okay. I'll take it. It's better
you like
than being
that?
A criminal league.
You like that? Being in the Justice League? That we're all for justice?
I'll take it. As long as I'm not in the RICO League.
I'd rather be in the line of justice. I surely would.
Yeah.
And I want to be on the side of justice, and that's God. And God is going to justify his actions. Trust me.
Praise God.
Because, you know, unfortunately, there are going to be those, Jewel, they're going to knock at the door of heaven. They're going to say, hey, let me in. He's going to say, well, who do you think you are? Well, you know, I've been doing good things. Goodness don't get you into heaven. Go on. So another one says, hey, but I've given to the church. You know, I've done monies for, you know, the orphanages and all that stuff. Uh-huh. And do you think that gets you right into heaven? No, it don't. Go on. Or I've been one of those who basically have sacrificed for you, Lord. Oh, you have you? Now, that's an interesting. Well, where is that written in this book of life? I don't see that. Can you enlighten me? Maybe the stenographer was off that day who recorded it. You know what I'm saying? And he's going, well, sort of, what, Oh, that's your interpretation of doing good works, right? That's not God's interpretation. And they have to reconcile the fact that said, oh, you know, I thought I was and I'm not. And that's where we're going to be. The day of judgment, there are going to be those that think they can buy their way into heaven. There are those that think their good deeds are going to get them into heaven. And then there are those that think they sacrificed enough to earn them a place in heaven.
They went in. Yep.
And none of them get that. They don't get into heaven because of that. They get in one way and one way only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except through him. And if you do evil to the least of me, my brethren, you do it unto me. And they did. And they didn't realize it. They thought, oh, you know, that beggar that's on the street, I pass him by every day. I don't look at him. He, you know, he's like, Good Samaritan. What did the Good Samaritan do, Jewel?
Yeah.
He was somebody from Samaria who basically saw this guy down in the ditch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he went down and took care of him, took him to an inn, paid his lodging, paid for his medicine. Because even the priest wouldn't do it. The other rich man went to the other side of the road and wouldn't do it. So the guy who was basically the other town that everybody used to say, you can't trust a Samaritan, you know, that's wrong. He did something that was unexpected because he had compassion. That's what is the key. God said,
love
you must be
compassionate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's simple. I'm a simple messenger. I give a simple message. Let go, let God. Trust and obey. Be happy in Jesus, because there's no other way. You know? And just realize that God has got your back. He's got you covered. Don't sweat it. Don't think that it's not possible. With God, all things are possible. Amen, amen.
Amen. Brother Thomas, I'm just going to close out with a very special song dedicated to my grandfather.
Oh, okay.
And it also is in line with today's topic, and which is the big payback from the spirit of betrayal. So, you guys, I'm going to give you guys a little taste and kind of think about it and reflect on it. This song is the Bee Gees, Still Waters Run Deep.
Okay. Can't hear it. Not loud enough, Jewel. Can't hear it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. It isn't loud enough. That's as loud as it can go. But
well, give us the synopsis. What were they saying? What were the words? Let's talk the words.
I will play some of it on, or put some of the lyrics online for you guys to see.
Excellent. Because what people really need to realize, you know that songs are poems.
Yes. What the song is saying is, still waters run deep. Just remember, when we lie to each other, no one wins and losers weep.
Wow.
Reflections will show this connection. We can lean on each other.
Amen.
This is all we need to know. And I admit, I've been a fool sometimes. I believe I may be losing you. It's now or never. We talk before a tear is shed. Under your spell and over my head, you took me in your arms and you told me we don't need to worry, but you never say you're sorry.
That's true.
Still waters run deep. Just remember, when we lie to each other, no one wins and losers weep.
Amen.
So, special homage to my grandpa there. Love you. I hope you had a happy birthday.
Oh.
And thank you guys for supporting the podcast.
Thank you so much, y'all. Have a good week. And I guess, because we're into Friday now.